Deke, whenever you're ready.
Amen, amen. Are we here?
Amen, we are here.
Yeah, we are here.
Well, you guys seem upbeat and chipper this evening and optimistic, and so we're going to get this Bible study started. Hallelujah.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Dear Lord, dear Lord, dear God, Father, we come, Lord, we come, dear most gracious and loving, eternal God, just come before you in the name of Jesus this evening, Father God. Lord, as we begin this 7 o'clock hour, just begin it by giving you thanks, Lord. Thank you once again for your special grace, your mercy, and your peace this evening, Father God. We thank you for all the blessings that you have bestowed on us, Father God. And Lord, more importantly, we just thank you for your presence here this evening, Father God. And Lord, as we invoke your Holy Spirit to just come into our midst, Father God. And Lord, we pray that you will inspire us this evening, Lord. And we pray that we will hear your voice, Father God, and the revelation knowledge will be released tonight, Father God. So Lord, I pray your word will touch someone tonight in a mighty way, Lord. And help us all to continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we ask that you have your way this evening, and we're going to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you so much for that prayer,
acknowledging, yes,
honoring the presence, yeah, of the Lord with us here this evening. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. We started this morning out, this day out, worshiping the Lord, and we ending it up,
yes,
thanking the Lord that we're together again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I know this has to be in the sight of God, that there's a group of people in the earth realm, hallelujah, that is seeking his will and his way.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. God has captured our attention, and I'm so grateful to be a part of, once again, each and every one of your life. So at this time, I just think that it's just always appropriate. Just, we don't want to miss anything, and we just want to be encouraged. Is there anyone with a brief testimony, a word of encouragement, a word of exhortation from an encounter that you might have had today, and you got to tell it? Because I feel the energy. I feel power. You know, we all possess power, and when that power come together, that's a lot of power, you know. So and we know there's power in prayer. So please feel free to share with us if you have had an encounter that you want to share that would be of encouragement to us this evening. Anyone?
Mm-hmm.
Well, praise God. We're going to get right on into the Word. And just remember once again that this is a participatory Bible study, and we cannot study the Bible without making comments or give a commentary. Asking questions is the most important part of a participatory Bible study, because sometimes we all don't get it. And if you don't get it, it's okay. Ask the question, because sometimes that will take us to another place and open up other answers or solutions. And it just amplifies the Word of God in all of our lives. So if there's any question, please ask them. And if you have any remarks, any commentary, please don't hesitate to chime in. Chime in. And with that being said, I just don't know how this all turn about, what we going to talk about, and where we going. We just let the Lord lead us. Amen. 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 That's what we always just let the Lord lead us. We don't know, never know what the Lord really going to do or how he want to do it. We just vessels. I'm a vessel. You know, Lord, use me. I make myself available for your usage. So however way the Lord leads us. But I know there is something that stood out with me over the past week and a half, couple of weeks. We know about the football player, DeMar Hamlin, and we know about how He had a cardiac arrest on that football field. And I know that all things work together for good for those that love God according to his purpose. And God has a purpose, and God has a plan for everything that unfolds in our daily lives. And so what stood out to me is that the quarterback and that player on DeMar Hamlin's team, his name Josh Allen, and he made a statement. And the statement he made, he says, "Now I know for sure that there is God. Now I know for sure that there is a God." And that was his comment. And that's powerful. That's powerful. Think about it. Now I know for sure. I have witnessed. I have seen it with my own eyes that there is a God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I just could not get that comment out of my spirit. That comment stayed in my spirit, and it just wouldn't go anywhere. So, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight, knowing for sure. You know, when you know for sure, you leave no room for doubt.
Amen.
Because it doesn't make sense to doubt what you know.
Pastor, can I say this?
Yes, Sister
Randa, and I am. This is confirmation, because I was going to say this before everybody got on the phone, because I thought you and I was on only one on the line. And I was going to say, I said, "God, I know for sure that you are real." And I was going to say, "Pastor," I was going to say that tonight, "Pastor, I know for sure God is real." I'm just floored. I am just outdone, because I was going to tell you, Pastor, I know for sure that God is real. Wow.
I know, Pastor, how you feel.
Carry on. I am just floored.
And I think we all are floored when we see how God works. We're all on the same spiritual frequency. You know, we all are tuned in to God. We're synced in to God. You know, I mean, we got to be synced in to God. We were here early this morning, and we are here in the evening. We could be doing a lot of different things, but we are here in his presence. So we are synced in to God. You know, you know, God has captured all of our attention, and here we are.
Wow.
Like the song say, here we are to worship, here we are to bow down, because you are our God. Hallelujah.
God, yes, God.
Hey, so, Sister Randall, I know exactly how you feel. God, show that your thoughts was in alignment with what we're going to be talking about. And now I know for sure. And we have to know that we know for sure. This is how faith works. You can't doubt. When you know for sure, you don't have no doubt. I think somebody wrote a song named Dottie Peoples, "I Ain't Got No Doubt."
I am amazed.
I ain't got no doubt. Hallelujah. And you know, all of our lives, ever since the world been in existence, and we know that God is a spirit, and we know that God is a spirit, and the Bible says that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the Bible tells us that no man has seen God at any time visibly, you know? But he dwells in each of us, so when we see each other, we don't see God, we see the works of God, you know? And so here we are, knowing for sure that there is a God without seeing him. You know, without him being physically, tangible, and visible in our life. But yet we believe. But yet we believe, and we know for sure. And God knows. God knows the challenge that is upon all of mankind. Having to believe him without any visibility of him. God already knew that. So God says that I have to find ways
mm-hmm.
to convince man that I am who I am.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that to get them to believe in me, and then if you believe in God, you're going to trust him.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's simple and challenging to trust someone you don't believe in or trust, you know. It, wherever there is belief, there's going to be trust. And so you got to trust what you believe. And here we are tonight. We are believers. We're believers. And we are sure. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That there is a God. And we're going to start off tonight, if you could just turn your Bibles briefly to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter. And, you know, that knowing for sure has just took me all through. Because I've been just like a kid. You know what I've been like a kid in a candy store that got excited. You know, that they say I got a sugar high, I got a spiritual high. You know?
Me too. This has blown my mind.
The word
sir.
Of God is just so awesome and powerful. This is the 14th chapter of the
14th
book.
Chapter?
Yeah, the 14th chapter of the books of Exodus. It's the second book in the Bible. The second book in the Bible. And I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you have your pen and paper. Because
yes,
we're studying God's word. And, you know, sometimes you just have to see it for yourself in order for it to resonate in your spirit too, so your spirit can connect to the word of God. And so faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that is Exodus, the 14th chapter. Now everybody should be there, because it's the second book of the Bible.
Amen.
Praise God. And we're just going to say we're going to take it up at the, and we're talking about knowing for sure. We're going to take it up at the 21st verse. And just bear with me. I'm going to read a little bit. If anybody want to interject, please interject. And I don't want to be really too extensive with reading the scriptures, but I got quite a few. It says, verse 21 says, 14:21 says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Let's just pause for a moment here. Mm-hmm. Let's just visualize the setting that mm-hmm. we just read. You know, and let me just bring you up. Moses was given the task. His assignment was to bring God's people, to lead them out of Egypt. Egypt represented bondage. They were slaves. They were mistreated. And these were God's people. And God tasked Moses with the assignment. Now, that's an awesome assignment, because you got millions of people. It was millions of those Israelites. Millions of those. But they were in captivity in Egypt. And so God tasked Moses with it. And then leading up to this point, Moses had a whole lot of problems trying to deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. He was running across all kind of problems. It wasn't an easy task. So we get to this pivotal point of Moses' assignment in verse 21. Let me start again. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by the strong wind, east wind, all that night, and made the sea dry land. Imagine that now. Y'all just let your mind, free your mind. Imagine, we're going to say Ocean City, just imagine Ocean City opening up, and there's water on one side, and there's dry land on the other side, or we'll just say the Potomac River, or we'll just say anywhere we are where there's a boundary of water, because we have people that's not in Maryland on there, but wherever there's a large body of water, can you just imagine for a moment that this water has been divided in a wall like, and you can enter, cross this water on dry land, that God himself, God himself has divided the Red Sea in order so that the children of Israel can cross over on dry land. And so let's go a little further. It says, verse 23 says, and the Egyptians, they were pursuing the children of Israel. They pursued them all the way to the river, and they was going to torture them and torment them. And so Moses leading them, and they were led all the way to the edge of the Red Sea, because they was following Moses, and they were under a whole lot of scrutiny and attack from Pharaoh. And so now here they are trying to get away from Pharaoh. Pharaoh is pursuing them and don't want them to come out of slavery, to come out of bondage. So he's doing everything in his power to keep them in slavery and bondage. And verse 23 said, and the Egyptian pursued and went after them in the midst of the sea. Even all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in a morning watch, the Lord looked into the host of the Egyptian through the pillar of fire and of the cloud and troubled the host of the Egyptian and took off their chariot wheels that they drove them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea. And just imagine, Moses is communicating with God. He have no doubt that God got him out of here. He have no doubt that God gave him this assignment. He have no doubt that he got a connection with God. He's sure about that. And so, and Moses stretched out thy hand. This is what God is telling him to do over the sea. And the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. Now, let's just pause for a minute. We know the story about the whole Pharaoh army got drowned.
Mm-hmm.
See, because when they saw Moses and the children of Israel walking across on dry land, and they were appalled. Come on. What kind of mind you got? You see the water divided. You know you're experiencing and witnessing something that never occurred in the history before of mankind, a sea divided. And then now all of a sudden you see them making it cross. And you going to pursue them? Well, we know how that story ends. and so he told Moses to stretch out his rod again. And the Egyptians upon their chariots and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea. And the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, and the Egyptian fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptian in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. The entire army got drowned.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire population all of Pharaoh's army men and horsemen and captains and lieutenants and privates, all of them. In other words, his army got wiped out. It got devastated. And so now here we are, fast forwarding. We know the story. Now, who would believe? Do we believe what we see? How can you ever forget what you experienced and witnessing in the opening of the Red Sea, speaking of the children of Israel? How could you ever forget that? How can you ever, if we experienced the Red Sea being divided, wouldn't we take the position of Josh Allen? Now we know for sure. There must be a God. Only God can split the waters. Only God can dry up a spot in the ocean, in the rivers, in the sea, so that his people can walk across on dry land. Only God.
Only God can do that.
Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Now, here we are knowing that in our time, that God is still showing us that he's God. This was their time. Now is our time.
Amen.
What is our witness? What is our testimony? What kind of testimony are we going to leave the next generation? Hallelujah. And so I ask the question, are we sure? Are you sure about God? Are you sure that God is who he says he is, and he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that working in us? Are we sure? And I would say this evening that God will convince you if you're not sure. Because let me tell you this, he's convincing the world every day right now. Every day he's convincing the world that he is God, that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, and all of them that dwell therein, that God is in control.
Amen.
No matter what it looks like, no matter what your situation is, God is in control. And if God says he has you, he has you. And if you're not sure yet, you will be sure.
Yes.
Amen.
You will be sure before it's over. Just give him time, because he's going to prove himself to you, and he's going to show himself strong and mighty in your behalf so that you can be sure. So that you could be just like Josh Allen. I'm sure. Now I'm for sure. I know for sure that there is a God. And just imagine, we have this in our recollection, in our history, that we can reflect back as believers and know that the story of the children of Israel who crossed the Red Sea, hallelujah, and God parted that Red Sea. Guess what? He's the same God that we serve today. He has not changed. He still has the powers. He is the same God. Guess what? Aren't you glad that we had to change God? He's the same God.
Amen. Amen.
And
amen.
Just as he performed those miracles in behalf of Moses, the assignment that he given him, he's the same God for us.
Mm-hmm.
He is with us. God is not our enemy. God is our friend. God is our father. God is our everything.
Yes, he is.
This is
yes,
not about him want to us to go through deception. You know, we know that there must be a God. We can tell. God says over in Romans 1, from the mere creation of the world, you without excuse, you know there's a God. How you think the sun get up there? How you think the moon get up there? Who put those stars in the sky?
Yep.
It's God. It's God. And we know the story of the creation. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God's word is so powerful. All you have to do is just speak over our lives. All you have to do is say something. All you have to do is speak it, and it will come to pass. Because his word, he watches over it, so it will not return back unto him. And so God has been showing people who he is throughout his existence of mankind. Ever since man been in the earth, been upon this earth, God has shown man that he is
God.
And so we think about, just for a moment, and you can write the scripture down. Let's go to Daniel's. Let's go to Daniel's, the book of Daniel, the third chapter. Make a right. You got no choice because I didn't say Genesis, so you got to keep going to the right. Amen. Daniel, the third chapter. This is God wanting people to be sure about who he is. Hallelujah. That he is God. He's God. Anybody got a comment or question as we go to the book of Daniel? Anybody got any questions, any comments, any commentary? Amen. Praise God for whom all blessings flow. If you're there, say amen. Daniel, the third chapter of the book of Daniel.
Amen.
Praise God. I hear a lot of amen. Man, see, this Bible study, this is where you learn where the books of the Bible is, because we're going all through the Bible. Amen. We ain't standing one book, so you're going to get to learn exactly where they are. And by memory, you can know what vicinity. When you crack that Bible with your hands, you can not be all the way back at the beginning, or neither at the end. You know you're somewhere in the middle. Amen. Daniel, the book of Daniel, the third chapter. And let's take it up at the 12th verse. And the word of God declares, there are certain Jews, when thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage, in other words, he got angry when he was told that these three Jewish boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to bow down at the sound of the trumpet and worship him and worship the image. And then he became angry. It says, verse 13 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach? Is it true, Meshach? Is it true, Abednego? Do not ye serve my God and worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, sorcery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. If you don't bow down, watch this. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said, to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter.
Mm-hmm.
If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. Verse 18 is the opposite verse. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, if he don't, that we would not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. I'm going to pause right here. Because they was fixated on that you will serve no other God except the Lord God in the heavens. That's the only God you serve. You will never serve idols or images. They had this fixated in their heart that they were willing to die for, that they didn't care about their life, but they cared about their relationship and commitment to God, to serve him and him only. And then verse 19 says, then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage. He was foaming at the mouth. He was so mad. and was charged against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore, he spake and commanded that they should be that they should heat the fiery furnace 7 times more hotter.
Mm.
In other words, turn up the heat as high as it could go. You know how we turn our ovens on, as high as it can go, 500, you know. And so he said, turn that heat up 7 times more hotter.
Mm.
And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flames of the fire was so hot it slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, when the fire so hot, when they get ready, took them up to put them in the fiery furnace, they died because of the heat that was coming from the fiery furnace. Now, that's some heat there.
Mm-hmm.
The heat was so hot, they couldn't even live by placing them in the fiery furnace. They passed away because of the heat.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes we think that we in a hot, heated situation. Hallelujah, boy. But watch this. Watch this. Verse 23 says, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste. And he spake, and he said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered the king, and they said unto the king, yeah, king, that's true. That's true, king. We put three in there, king. 25th verse says, he answered and said, lo, I see four men in there now. What, they loose, and they walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And the form of the fourth man is like the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace. And he spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the fiery furnace in the midst of the fire. And the princes, governor, and captains of the king, counselors being gathered together, saw these men upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their clothes changed, nor was the smell of fire had passed on them. That's Paul's right there.
That's power. That is power.
That's Paul. Let's take a break, Red. Let's just visualize this scene here, knowing for sure. Now, we serve the same God, all of us. We serve the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We serve the creator of the universe. So you mean to tell me if he took the fire, the heat out of their fire, he can't take it out of yours?
Yes, sir.
This little heat we go through, you think he can't take that heat out? When we feel like we are in the furnace,
yes,
and we can't get out. Do you trust him to get you out?
Amen.
Do you trust him to get you out?
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Or do you have some doubt? If you don't have no doubt, he's going to get you out.
Yes.
Because he wants you to be sure. He wants you to be sure. And not only that, they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Hallelujah. Remember, that fire was seven times hotter. It was seven times hotter.
God.
And they came out just like they went in. Hallelujah. Don't you know when we come through our trials and tribulation, we're not going to even have the smell of smoke. That's why we can say we sure don't look like what we've been through.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. We're still standing. We've
Amen.
Been through the fire. We've been through the rain.
Amen.
We've been through storms of life, but we still stand because we trust in the same God as Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. We trust in that unchanging God that will be the same today as he was yesterday and forevermore.
Amen.
Because God wants us to be sure.
Pastor,
and
I just...
If you're sure, you won't have no doubt.
Absolutely. I just said that. I just said that to y'all last week, that I don't look like what I've been through.
None of us do. None of us do.
Hey, listen.
None of us do.
Amen.
And guess what? The going through part still ain't over.
That's right.
See,
that's
what gives us confidence toward God. That's what gets us ready, because we know if we made it through this flame, we're going to make it through the next one. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
So it doesn't matter whatever we go through, we're going to come through, because God's going to see us through.
Yes,
Amen.
Lord.
I know I don't look like what I've been through, but guess what? I'm still going through.
Amen.
As long as you are on this earth, you are going to be going through.
Yes.
My God.
This
My
ain't
God.
Heaven. This ain't heaven.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So as long as you're here, you might as well make up your mind. Hallelujah.
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 Yes,
that I can make it. I'm going to make it. Because I know
yes.
God got me. He
yes.
always had me. All my life. Hallelujah. All of my life.
Hallelujah.
He had me. So if he had me all of my life, what made me think he's going to give up on me now?
Amen.
He bringing this discard you. You could have been discarded, you.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't bring you this far to leave you alone.
No, he didn't.
But you got to be sure. Are you sure like Josh Allen? He said, now I know for sure. Have you gone through enough to make you sure? Have God delivered you from some things that you know for sure? Hallelujah.
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 Yeah, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo, Jesus.
I know
see,
for
sure. We got to get stirred up. We got to get stirred up. We got to give God praise and props. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Because
Hallelujah.
He's over us. He is our glory. He's the shield of our head. He's the scepter of our head. He's our glory.
Yes.
All honor, all praise, and all glory belongs to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. And I know that there's quite a few of us on this call this evening. I can just tell it in my spirit. And I just want to know, it's going to be okay. We're going to make it. We're going to make it.
We're
going to make it. Don't
worry.
Because guess what happens? When you throw the towel in, God ain't going to ever throw it back out at you. See, because when you throw the towel in, that's a sign of surrender. When you throw the towel in, that means you done gave up. But God said, I know you can make it. I know the thoughts I have toward you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Pastor, wouldn't that go for as today's date, God will make your enemies your footstool?
Absolutely.
Every time.
If the word of God says he'll make even your enemies to be at peace with you.
Yes.
Look at Shadrach. King Nebuchadnezzar became a Christian. He
got
saved.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
He got saved.
Yes. Because he saw.
Yes.
Yes.
He got saved. Look how many people got saved when they saw the life come back into him, Damar Hamlin.
Yeah.
Yes.
The world was watching.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I say the world was watching.
Absolutely.
Yes. Watching and praying. Yes.
Right.
Everybody will watch and pray. Everybody.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
And exactly
hallelujah. You got a whole lot of people believe that prayer work when they went to death. Josh Allen said he's sure prayer work. He said, now I know for sure prayer work.
Sure.
My team has worked. My team made his back with the team. He was dead. And now he's alive again.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He was dead. He was dead. He was dead on the football field. He was dead.
Pastor, he did it speedily. God did it speedily.
Expeditiously.
Yes.
Expeditiously.
Yes, he did.
Because he won't everyone that was in observation and was witnessing what transpired, he wanted them to be sure.
Amen.
He wanted them to be sure. And he continued wants us to be sure.
Very sure.
So that's why the Word of God teaches us.
Amen.
It says, let us come boldly.
Boldly.
To the throne of grace and mercy.
Yes, God. Thank you,
and
Jesus.
And find help in a time of need.
Yes.
Let us come boldly. Don't you know how you are when you're bold? Well, don't you know when you're bold, you're full of confidence? You got confidence? That you're going to come through?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen. Amen.
So when you pray, you don't pray to pray. You pray for results. You pray believing and trusting God that he's going to respond to your petition, your prayer. Because that's why you come boldly, because you know he's God. And and you know you've been bold before with him, so you got to be consistent. You can't be inconsistent. You got to be consistent with God. If you got faith, you got faith. If you believe, you believe. If you trust, you trust.
Amen.
You got to trust unconditionally. You got to believe unconditionally.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Because God is consistent. And he, and we're going to get to that. God is consistent, and he wants us to be brothers and sisters.
Yes.
In our faith, in our trust with Him. Do we trust God? Yes, we trust God. Don't we trust God's things?
Yes.
Don't we trust Him because we know that there's no failure in Him? So we trust God.
Yes.
The scripture says, trust in the Lord with all that heart.
Yes.
With all that heart, we trust you, God. And we will never leave our own understanding. But we will acknowledge you, God, in all of our ways and all of our affairs, so that you, God, can direct our path and navigate our life. Hallelujah.
Sometimes you might find yourself in a situation where your faith is not where it's supposed to be, but God already made provisions for that as well. Because there's a verse in the Bible that says, I believe, but help my unbelief.
Amen.
We're going to that scripture. I got that scripture written down. I got it written down, Sister Evangelist. We're going, that's going to be part of our reading. That's it. That's the scripture. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I got it right here, right now, Mark 9:23-25. Hallelujah.
And I tell you, because, you know, we are Christians and we are strong believers. Yes, we are. We believe that God can do anything, everything, whenever He wants. He will. But that is the spiritual side that talks. But sometimes in that natural side, that human side, you know, we do have that doubt. And like I said, God gives us provision to have that doubt. He gives us provision to have that doubt. But your doubt can't be at the point where you lose all belief. I mean, you got to have faith.
Right.
You can doubt. It's okay to doubt just a little bit. It's okay. God made provisions for that. But it cannot be to the point where you just discredit God altogether.
Right. And then there's times when you have that unbelief and people come in your life to encourage you, to help you and navigate that unbelief and fellowship with you and encourage you and motivate you, because that is a part of being a believer and fellowshipping and sharing. You know, when sometimes people get down, you got people there to help build them up and say, you can do this. You can do this.
But
if you're not going to have people around you all the time. So your connection, even though we have people to encourage us, when everybody else is asleep at 3 o'clock in the morning and you can't call anybody, you can't knock on anybody's door, your faith has to be so shored up that you can know that you can go to God at any time, day or night, because He's a God that neither slumbers nor sleeps.
But
He's just that kind of God. I'm not telling you what somebody told me, even though I know what my mama and my grandmama and my aunties told me. I know for myself what God will do for you if you keep the faith and you stay firm and you stay prayed up. Can nobody tell me what God can't and what He will not do if you stand strong and you recall, you recite His words to Him. Lord, it is written in your word that you promised me peace even in the midst of the storm. So I'm telling you, Lord, what you already promised me. And if you can do that, if you can go to His word and recite to Him what He told you, He will work it out every time. I'm telling you what I know for myself.
Every time He will work it out.
He will.
See, God will. See, here we are. Here we are. Remember, God is all-knowing, almighty, all-powerful, all-present.
Yes.
And God know where we stand at in our faith.
Yes.
Faith is not a conversation. It's a demonstration.
Right.
You see, you can talk faith and get through the situation. You got to
Pastor, say that one more time, Pastor. You said faith is not a conversation. It's a demonstration.
It's a demonstration.
Oh, my. Yes.
Yeah,
it's a demonstration. So I had to write that one down.
I say this. This is the reason why I said this. I say this. I have a reason. It's all scripture, because we're going to stay in the Bible. We ain't going to have opinions. We're going to have facts.
Thank you, God.
And there's scriptures and facts.
Amen.
See, so I say this because no man or woman know how strong their faith is until they are tested. You don't know. You could talk that talk, but you don't know how strong your faith
is until your faith is tested.
And your faith will be tested. It will be tried by fire.
Yes.
And so your faith continued to be tested and tested and tested. Then you will get built up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. God know the path that he have all of us on. He know where we stand and where we got to go with him. One of his disciples called Peter. And we all know Peter. He's got two books in the New Testament, 1st and 2nd Peter. Well, Peter, I would say, was Jesus' second-round draft pick. And because he was the second disciple chosen by Jesus out of the 12, Peter was the second. He was a fisherman. He labored, you know. And Jesus, Peter was Jesus' right-hand man. He loved his cousin Peter. He said, upon this rock, I build my church. They called him the Rock. That was his nickname. And so one day Jesus was telling the disciples what was going to transpire when the people caught up with him and they wanted to kill him. Jesus knew they was after him to crucify him and put him on the cross. Remember, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he said, Lord, if this cup, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. That cup was the punishment that was before him that he knew he had to go through, the pain and the suffering. So he told Peter, he said, Peter, you are going to deny me before the cock crow three times. And Peter said, I'll die for you. There's no way. There's no way. Uh-uh. He said, no, I would never. So he went on and on and on, trying to convince Jesus. When Jesus already knew that Peter's challenge and his test of faith was going to come. And his faith was testing, and he failed.
Mm-hmm.
He failed.
Mm-hmm.
He failed because he told the people. Because the people came to arrest Peter. And they knew that they was getting ready to take Jesus and crucify him and persecute him. So they say, you was with this man. And the lady, if Peter said, I don't know that man. He said, I don't know him. The people say, yeah, you know him. You got that mark right there on your neck. We know you from that mark. He said, I did not tell you I don't know the man. And so to convince them that he didn't know Jesus, he went all the way out there and started cursing. I don't know that blankety blank man. And then so he started the people. They say, wow, this cussing now. You know what I'm saying? All I'm saying is that every day we get built up on our faith. When the test and the trial come, that's when we know where we stand. And so, that's why we're going to get through that to that scripture about help my unbelief, because you can't keep being wishy-washy in your unbelief. You don't been through enough now to know that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above. See, once you don't went through a lot with God, don't you know, you don't grew up and you don't went through the fire, you don't went through the rain, and you still standing.
Amen.
The scripture says, for the man that will lose his life, the same shall save it. And the man that will save his life, the same shall lose it. Because there's going to come a day that you are going to be faced with the biggest decision of your life as a believer. You are going to have to denounce Jesus Christ in order so that you can buy, sell, or trade. You, before man, your test is going to come. Trust me. Remember this. Lock this in your spirit, that when the Antichrist and all everything begin to unfold, and you have the laws that is against the believers and against all the Christians, that we're going to begin to get persecuted for God's sake and for heaven's sake. And then they're going to tell you, the people are going to confront you, that you're going to need the mark of the beast. And if you don't have that mark, you can't buy, sell, or trade. And so you're going to be making a choice to get the mark so that you can go head on and about your business, and you won't be troubled or facing death or facing any consequences of not having the mark. When they tell you you can't eat, when they tell you you can't get nothing, you ain't got nothing coming because you don't have the mark, you won't be messing around there and you ain't strong in the faith. That's why we talking about this. If you ain't strong in the faith, you're going to say, oh, give me the mark. I got to eat. Give me the mark. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus so eloquently stated, he that will save his life, the same shall lose. You understand? So that's why he said to person that is going to succumb to receiving the mark of the beast. You get the mark of the beast only if you deny Jesus Christ. So that's going to come for every believer. I'm just saying, read your Bible. It's in the Bible. Everything I'm saying is written. I'm not making this up. I'm not making any of this up. But let's turn our Bibles to Mark, the ninth chapter. Let's turn to Mark, the ninth chapter.
Mark 9:21.
Mark 9, yes. Go ahead, Sister Randa, I hear you.
That's in Mark 9:21. Just read it last night.
Okay.
Amen.
All right, let's turn to Mark. And see, we got one couple more scriptures, so we want to get there. Yes, the book of Mark, right after Matthew's. Okay, Matthew's, Mark, and so it would be good if I got that right.
Yes, sir.
Okay, that would be a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, I really, really love sharing the word of God. I love just seeing what God is saying and understanding what he is saying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're ready, say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Verse 21. Let us start at 21. The word of God says, and he asked his father.
Yes, God.
How long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child, talking about a child, talking about healing this man's son. And he said, oftentimes it has him cast to the fire and into the waters to destroy him. That's that demon-possessed spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and captured him, and he can't get loose. He can't get away. He's throwing himself into the fire. He's cutting himself. He's jumping in the water. And it says, and he asked Jesus, asked the Father, say, how often has it cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him? But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Verse 23 says, Jesus said unto them, if thou can just believe, if you just believe, he said, all things are possible, not might be possible, all things are possible.
Yes, God.
All things are possible to him that believes. All you got to do is believe. See, when you believe, you're giving God something to work with. He working with your belief. He working with your faith because you believe in him. And God is not trying to bring you to a place of confusion. If you believe, all things are possible. And then the Father, he says, help. If it's possible, all things are possible, believe. And then verse 24 said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears in his eyes, Lord, I believe.
Yeah.
Help thou my unbelief.
Amen.
In other words, I'm not consistent. I'm not consistent with my belief. Can you help me in my inconsistency?
Yeah.
I believe when it seems like it's comfortable. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
But help me with my unbelief. And that should be our prayer. Help me, Lord, when I'm doubting you. Help me, Lord, when it seems like I've lost my confidence in what you can do. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help my unbelief, God.
Yes.
I know I believe, but I'm not consistent with my belief. I'm not consistent, God. I need you to help me, God, with my unbelief, because sometimes I believe, sometimes I don't.
Yes, Lord. My God.
Yes.
So help me with my unbelief. The times, God, that I've doubted you, help me, God. The times that I wanted to give up on you, and I had no reason to give up on you, God. It just seemed like I was all alone. And I know you said, God, that you would never leave me alone.
Amen.
So, God, help me believe that you're always with me. And if you're with me, God, who can be against me? No harm can come to me, God, if you're with me.
Yes.
No harm. Nothing can happen to me if you're with me.
Mm.
And so help me believe, God, that you're always with me. in my unbelief, God.
Amen.
Lord.
I've seen you. I've seen your work, God. God, this ain't the first miracle I saw you perform. And we can all look back over our life, and we go back to that song. All my life, you've been there. Hallelujah. All of my life. So now some of us had a nice little long life, and we still live it. So all of my life, that including right now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That including right now. All my life, God. You've been there.
So good.
Your goodness.
Yes.
You've been so good. Of my life, God.
You've been so good.
You've been so good, God.
Yes, God.
Because we are sure. Anybody a little bit more sure this evening after you done saw how God wants to show us through the Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Moses parting the Red Sea?
Yes.
But we're gonna close out with this one. See, God wants people to be for sure. He wants you not to have doubt. So Lazarus, a friend and a brother of Mary and Martha, and he was very familiar with Jesus, but he got sick. And he died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the sisters, Mary and Martha, they was upset with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus stayed away for 4 days after Lazarus had passed.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jesus came back on the scene, Mary and Martha was sad. They were crying. They was just mourning. They was crying real loud. They was just really hurt. And then they was crying so much and weeping so much until Jesus started crying. And that's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
He wept because he had the feelings and compassion for Mary and Martha. He wept like we would weep if we were see someone tearing up and weep. See, that's the God in us. When we cry with people, we weep with you, we rejoice with you, you know. So Jesus being compassionate, he began to cry. And he said, don't worry. He's not dead. He will rise again.
Yes,
and they say, well, we know he's going to rise again, but that's in the resurrection. That's a long time from now.
Yes,
yeah, we know he's going to rise again in the resurrection. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection.
Yes.
I am the resurrection.
Yes, Jesus.
Thank
Jesus.
You,
that's who you are. Yes.
And he said, Jesus. Lazarus, come forth.
Mm.
But he did that because he wanted, God arranged that because he wanted the people to be for sure that they know they were dealing with God, that they know that this was a God assignment.
Mm-hmm.
So Lazarus came forth. He had to call him by name because if he would have said came forth, the whole graveyard would have opened up. But he said, only you this time, Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth.
Come forth.
Yes, God. My God. When he tell us to come forward, yes, God.
Because he wants you to be convinced that he's God.
Yes.
He wants you to be sure. He wants you to be sure. And so Lazarus went through that process of death and being resurrected so that he could be used by God so that the people can be sure that there is a God that is in control and in charge. And then there we have it, and we know the story. There have been so many other stories in the Bible. Hallelujah. We just picked out a few tonight because we'll be here all night long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wanted to tell you about Jonah. We wanted to tell you about Jonah when God sent him to Nineveh. And Jonah refused to go tell the people in Nineveh to repent. And God said, you're going to tell them, you're going to go and do this assignment. Jonah didn't want to do the assignment because he didn't like that country. He didn't like the people in Nineveh. He said he thought them people were all of that in Nineveh. They bling in Nineveh. They partying, they having fun, and they got some wealth in Nineveh. And Jonah said, I ain't telling them nothing. You know? And we know the story that Jonah ran away from that assignment to go tell the people in Nineveh to repent. And he ended up in the belly of a great fish. God had created a great fish, and they threw him off the ship, and that's where he was housed for 3 days, in the belly of a great fish. Some theologians would say the whale, but the Bible doesn't say whale. It says God prepared a great fish. And we know the story that after 3 days, and Jonah decided in the belly of the whale, because he was in there praying, say, God, I'll go now, I'll go now. And the whale vomited him up on shore.
Mm-hmm.
And Nineveh was a 3-day journey. Mm-hmm. And Jonah got there one day when that fish, that big great fish vomited him out. He got there in one day. And then he carried out his assignment for God. So that was God right there all the time. Hallelujah. And aren't we glad as we come to a close tonight that this God we're talking about through these scriptures, he's the same God that we are in a relationship with. He's the same God that we pray to. He has not changed. He is the same God. Hallelujah. And that's our consolation, that he doesn't change.
Yep.
He
Amen.
Doesn't change.
Amen.
And he says, I know the thoughts that I have toward you, thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring you to a good and expected end. So God already knew our ending before our beginning. God know everything there is to know about us. God know our strength and all of our weaknesses. So we might as well come clean. Remember we did a study the other night, Bible studies ago, Numbers. I think it's number 32:23 says, and be sure your sins will find you out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, you can't hide nothing from God.
Mm-mm.
So we just, listen, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close right here. We have to aspire to be the best version of ourselves.
Amen.
It's there's always room for improvement. All of us can improve. We ain't none of us where we supposed to be. Mm-hmm. We're all making it. We're on this journey. Ain't nobody arrived yet. I ain't. Mm-hmm. Nobody got it made. Ain't nobody made it.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. We're still fighting a good fight of faith. We're still running the race. You ain't made it if you're still running the race, because when you make it, you're gone from this earth.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Amen.
You think you got it all cranked up, you done made it. You won't be here on this earth with that attitude to my, you done made it.
No, you won't.
No.
And that's why the Bible said, let no man think of himself more highly than he ought.
That's right. Amen.
But we all running the same
Amen.
Race to fight the same fight.
Amen.
A man ought not to think of himself more highly than he ought to, because everything he got coming is going to come from God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Everything.
It's going to come
everything.
From God. Everything. Everything.
Everything.
So you can get heady and high-minded all you
right.
want. You can get all heady and high-minded, acting like you all of that.
And a mega chip.
You
negative.
Better humble yourself. You
but
better
you,
humble yourself.
You better humble yourself, because you ain't nothing
Amen.
Without God.
Amen.
You ain't nothing without God.
Amen.
Yeah, you ain't nothing. So I close right here. And I apologize for going a little over tonight, but this is our Bible study. I apologize.
We love it.
No apology.
I know, Sister Randall. Sister Randall, don't he get on your nerve with that, Sister Randall?
No apology.
I say it all the time.
It should be 2 hours, 7 and 9. Come on, man. But okay.
That's right.
Exactly,
no apology.
It's exactly like it is. It should be until we finish.
I appreciate this group, because everybody into this word got a thirst after this word, and the time just seemed to fly. But Sister Pat,
Amen.
Were you just going to say something, Sister Pat?
Oh yes, I want the verse of the book in Numbers. What was that again?
It's Numbers 32:23, I think. I'm going to let you know, Sister Pat, because we want you to know. Numbers Deuteronomy, so if memory serves me correct, I'm almost sure it's 32:23. I'm going back there for you, Sister Pat. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Let's see here now. 32:23.
It's 23.
Okay. 23. Okay. All right. Okay, Sister Pat, now you're challenging me. I thought they done moved it in the Bible.
What day was it, Pastor?
Amen. Hold on.
Let me read.
Okay, hold up 1 second. Okay, it's actually 32:23. Numbers 32. It was my favorite scripture. I just had to, a little excited. Turn your Bibles to Numbers 32, so that'll get it, and that'll be our last scripture that we read. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy.
Numbers 32.
Number 32.
Leviticus number. Okay, so 32. Just go to 32 and you'll see it for yourself. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Numbers 32. Amen. We're going to wait on you. Nobody will get left behind.
Nope.
Nobody left behind. Amen. Amen. If you're amen. There, say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. I hear those amen. Amen. Verse 23 says, but if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord. And be sure, we talked about be sure, and be sure your sin will find you out.
We'll find you out.
In other words, you will get exposed.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever is done in the dark,
it will come to the light.
It will come to the light. Whatever you got going on in the dark, it's going to come to the light. And so when it comes to the light, then you're going to get exposed, and your sins have found you out, you know? And, you know, the devil won't always try to show us up, you know?
Amen.
Listen. The devil, this is how he works. He'll get you to do something, then he'll tell on you.
For real.
He'll snitch on you. He'll get you to do something. Then he'll turn around and snitch on you.
Yeah. Amen.
Lord have mercy.
You know, I'm just trying to tell you. You know, but listen, I got to show you that too, because I don't want to tell you nothing that I can't show you. Turn to Revelation 12 chapter. I'm going to show you a snitch on you.
What is it, Pastor?
Revelation.
Uh-huh. What chapter?
Revelation, the 12th chapter.
Revelation 12. All righty.
Amen.
Okay, that's the last book in the Bible. This will be our last scripture for real. Amen. Amen. Revelation 12th chapter, the 10th verse.
12.
If you dare say amen, everybody
amen.
Ought to hear Revelation.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hear those amen.
Amen.
Revelation 12:10. I'm going to read a couple of verses. And 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. But the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. See, that's the devil.
Mm-hmm.
He's accusing the saints. He's always showing God. Look at him. They come out. They love you, God. Look what they're doing. The accuser of the brethren. And it says, which accused them before our God day and night. That means you're always trying to find something on you in the daytime, in the nighttime, whenever. He is the accuser of the brother. But the word says this. Watch this. Verse 11 is the operative verse. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Now watch this. Watch this. And I'm closing right here for real. It says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath. I mean, the devil is so angry right now. Are we seeing this angry in the earth right now? Are we seeing how angry he is in the earth right now? That everywhere you go, you just see somebody doing something crazy. It says that the devil, they call him out, call him by name, has come down unto you having great wrath. Why is he having great wrath? Why are we seeing all this now? Watch this. Here's your answer. Why are we seeing all this shooting? Because he knoweth that he has but a short time.
Go ahead. Yep.
He know he has but a short time. He is trying to destroy as much as he can destroy, and he is trying to tear up as much as he can tear up, and he's doing it. Hallelujah.
Yep.
He's doing it with our youth and young people. He's doing it on every front. But there you go right there. You have it right there. I didn't know that I was going to have to do this, but God wanted us to have this scripture, and he wanted us to see where we stand at today, why there's so much evil in the earth.
Yeah.
You know, today, the scripture says he knows, but he has a short time. He knows
short
that it's soon to come. So he's trying to wreak havoc everywhere he can and anyone. So praise God.
Praise
my time is up, and I thank each of you for yours. And as we close out, we got about 30 seconds for any remarks, comments, anybody with any questions. We don't want you to go and take questions away. We want to be able to answer your questions if we can. And if we can't, you know that they got to be in the scripture, because we ain't said nothing that we can't support it by scripture.
Amen. Amen.
Everything
Amen.
That we say and will always say will always be supported by scripture, because I don't know. All I'm doing is reading.
Amen.
What the Lord has said. And these are his words.
Amen.
And so if anybody have any comments, please feel free at this time, or any questions. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank everybody for coming on tonight and joining us. And we pray that you have a good rest of your evening and a good night's sleep.
Yes.
And we look forward to Thankful Thursday in the morning for all of those that attend the Bible study. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I pray that you all have received something tonight.
Yes.
And I got to reiterate this once again. Are you sure?
Confirmation.
You for sure. Are you for sure? Are you at a point that you are for sure that you know that God is who he says he is? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'm going to close us out of prayer. Let's prepare for prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we thank you, God, for this evening. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for every person, God, that called in on this call tonight, God. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will comfort their hearts, be with them, God. We thank you for revelation knowledge. We thank you for the illumination of your word. And you declare that in all our getting, let us get understanding. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will enlighten each of our minds with understanding, God, and that we will continue to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I lift up every person's family right now this evening, God, that is on this call. I pray that you continue to bless our families, God, and show yourself strong and mighty in each of our behalf. Your word declares that miracles, signs, and wonders will follow every believer. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus that those miracles, signs, and wonders will begin to manifest themselves, God, in this present generation. God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, for always being present in our time of need and in our time of help. We thank you that we can cast our cares upon you, because we know that you cares for each and every one of us. We thank you for being a burden bearer. We thank you once again, God, for bringing us to this point of our day and going to take us on to Thankful Thursday in the morning. So we give you glory, give you honor, and we give you praise, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 You're welcome.
One confirmation in Jesus.
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
And may
you as well.
And go back and read those scriptures. Hallelujah. We got plenty of scriptures. And next week, we're going to have plenty more.
Amen. God bless you, Sam. Good night.
Good night.